John chapter number 3, let's look here just for a few minutes. John chapter number 3, verse number 1, let me share this with you. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus is having a little trouble understanding. Nicodemus is thinking of the physical. Jesus is trying to get him in the spiritual way of thinking. And he's thinking in the physical. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, watch, except the man be born of water, that's number one, underline water, and of the Spirit, that's number two, underline Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You say, Preacher, what's the water and what's the Spirit? Well, verse 6 will tell you, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Now, if you want to underline flesh or draw a circle around flesh and then put you a line straight to the water over there, that'll tell you what the water is. It's a physical birth. It's the water being born physically into this world. Everybody in this building has been already born of water because everybody in here has been born of your mother and father. You've been born physically. And then that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is Spirit, underline or circle Spirit, and draw it up to the other, and that connects those. There are two born of the water, that's physical, born of the Spirit, that's spiritual. Everybody in this room has been born physically, but you may not have been born spiritually, and that's what we call being born again. Everybody must be born again. Jesus said you can't see the kingdom of heaven unless you get born again. Unless you get saved. Unless you get bought by the blood of the Lamb. You have to be born again. You cannot be born, go back and be born again of your mother. So he's talking about something that's spiritual. Now if the physical birth is one time, y'all write this one down. Remember this one. If the physical birth is one time and you can't go back and redo it, then wouldn't you be safe to say that the spiritual birth, being born again, is only one time and you only do it one time and you can't go back and redo it? Now that's just Bible. That's just Bible interpretation. Bible preaching. Being born physically and spiritually, one time physically, one time spiritually, and if you get born again, then you can go to heaven. Now, I want to show you this, and what I'm doing is there's no real structure to this, but I'm going to try my best. We're going to try these spirits, all right? Now, there are three tenses to salvation. Three tenses to salvation. You may want to write these down. Number one, there's justification. Justification is being saved from the penalty of sin, and that happened at the cross. When Jesus died upon the cross, he shed his blood for the whole world, and he made a payment for sin for the whole world. In essence, he bought a case of Coca-Cola's. And he put them down at the grocery store, and he put a sign on there. It said, free to anybody that wants one. They've already been paid for, but you don't get a Coca-Cola unless you go get one. That's pretty good, ain't it? That's the best illustration I got. But it works. Everybody says, well, if he died for the sins of the whole world, then why ain't everybody saved? Well, everybody's not saved because they hadn't been down there and took the free gift that he paid for. So if you want the free gift, he paid for it. He's got a sign there that says it's a free gift. You can have it if you want it, but you got to take it. I can't make you go to heaven. I can't make you and force you to get saved. You got to get saved when you want to get saved. I mean, you understand, Holy Spirit drawing you, I understand all that. But you go down there and say, hey, these are free. I'm gonna get me one. It was my choice, my free will. His will was his going to buy for the whole world. That was his will. Here's enough for everybody. If you want one, there they are. My will is, if I want one, I got to go get it. And I can reject it if I say, I don't want one. If I don't want one, I don't have to take it. It's already paid for. It's still paid for. A lot of people say, well, if he paid for the sins of the whole world and then somebody don't accept Christ, then he wasted it. Uh-uh. It's all been paid for. He didn't waste anything. He bought enough for everybody. And if you want one, go get it. If you want to go to heaven, get born again. If you want to go to heaven, ask him to come in your heart and save you, and you'll go to heaven, and then you'll be born again, be born of the Spirit. That's justification. He looks at us, saved from the penalty of sin, being now justified by His grace. We have peace with God, being justified freely by His grace. How are we justified? Justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is a judicial term, which means that the justification, God looks at me not as a sinner anymore, but he looks at me as a son. And not only just any son, but he looks at me like I am kin to Christ, his only begotten son. And then he looks at me like he does look at Christ. And when he looks at me and he sees Christ, then I have free access to anything that's in heaven. That's justification. Just as if I had never sinned. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse, let me quote it for you. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved. That's past tense. Are you saved. That happened at the cross. That's justification. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works. We dealt with that last week. Not of works. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't come to church enough to get to heaven. You can't turn over a new leaf enough to get to heaven. Amen. You can't get baptized enough to get to heaven. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Justification, just as if I had never sinned, that is being saved from the penalty of sin. Now, number two, there's another tense of salvation. Here's where people get confused. The second tense of salvation is sanctification. That is being saved from the power of sin. That is ongoing. I've already been saved. I've already been saved by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved. But guess what? I've been justified. That's past. My present is this. I am now sanctified, and I am being saved continually as I live the Christian life. Saved from the power of sin. And I'll come back to that in just a few minutes, because sanctification, watch this. Genesis chapter number 2 verse number 1 says that God rested on the seventh day and sanctified it. What's sanctification mean? Sanctify means to set apart. That means, and this is the only illustration, most of you have heard all of my illustrations before, but that's, I ain't had time to look up no new ones. And these are working pretty good, so just hang on. Write it down again and just put, Jeremy said that before. I've said a lot of things, repetition, before. Yeah. But look, it's like taking a old bar. Let's just say, watch it. Here's a new one. I just thought, thank you, Lord. Our new building is over there by a bar. Ain't that a good testimony? I mean, we dismiss here, we go over there, No. Over there, I don't know what it's called, something other, whatever. And the Lord's working on that place anyway, but listen. There's some, probably if you went in there, I don't know, I've been in there one time, that's when we went, the fellow trying to sell us the building. Jack taught me to go in there, said he goes in there all the time, and says, he was, but look, they had some bar stools and they had some bars up there. You get up and you sit at this little bar thing. And I don't know what all they do there, but I'm assuming they serve drink. Some of you that go there, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. And, I mean, they serve drink probably, and you sit up at the bar stool, and you just cry in your beer and all that kind of stuff and worry about you and all that stuff. And so that's what that use of that bar stool is for. Let's just say, and let's pray that the owner gets saved. Hey, let's pray that he gets saved. Hey, that's one way to shut her down, is to pray that the man gets saved. Burning it down won't help, because they'll just go somewhere and start it with insurance money and start another somewhere. But if you get the man saved, that'll help. If you really want to shut the place down, pray that the man gets saved. Let's just say he does, and we pray he does, and he gives me a call and says, "Brother Jeremy, we got all these bar stools over here. Wondered if you could use them over at the church." Well, we're sure we can use them in the Sunday school class. We can use them over here. What are we doing? We are sanctifying those bar stools. They used to be used for drinking on. Now we are going to set them apart and bring them over to the new building for a new purpose and a new plan. And that is to read Bibles on, teach Sunday school on. I don't know why you're not getting excited, but that's what you were. You used to be on a bar stool. You used to be of that kind of use. But when God saved you, He sanctified you. He set you apart unto a new work, a new plan. He has set you in Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I have a new position. I don't do those old things like that. I don't go to the bars. I don't sit. I'm not for that use anymore. I'm for a different use. And I'm being sanctified progressively, being sanctified, being set apart. I hadn't all attained yet. God's still working on me. That's the second tense of salvation. The third tense of salvation is this: glorification. There's justification, that's past tense. Sanctification is present tense. And glorification is future tense. You say, "Preacher, what is future tense?" Watch this. Romans chapter number 8 of 5. Romans 5. Like I said, no structure, but hopefully this will help. Romans 5, real quick. Romans 5. Watch this. Future tense. Future tense. Now, this will help you when you're studying Old Testament salvation and New Testament salvation. The same three tenses in the Old Testament as they are in the New. They're just in a different order. It's not justification, sanctification, glorification. It's in a different order in the Old Testament. And I want you to watch this. Watch this. Romans chapter 5 and verse number. Verse 8. This is a good one. "But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." A good place to say amen. Verse 9. "Much more then, being now justified," now justified, "by His blood," watch, "we shall be saved." Hey, is that future tense? I thought I was already saved. This verse right here says, "I shall be saved." There's three tenses of salvation. Hey, y'all want to know a little secret? Y'all ain't all the way saved yet. "Well, you told me I was when I trusted Christ." Well, I understand. You're saved. You're going to heaven, okay? But watch. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit, right? That means when you got saved, your soul and spirit became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, behold, all things come new. Guess what? The part of you didn't get saved. It's the body. That's why we still have trouble with sin. That's why we still have trouble with old Adamic nature. That's why we still have trouble when people pull out in front of us. Man, I'm telling you, my rage. I mean, people, I almost lost my testimony driving to Memphis. Anybody lose their testimony in Memphis? I mean, people pulling out, honking, and I mean, and I'm like, I told Brother John he was in the pasture side. I said, "That car ain't good." And one of them got in front of me. I said, "Brother John, that won't happen no more." And he says, "But you're a preacher." I said, "I know it, but that ain't going to happen no more." I mean, this is Saturday. I mean, that's an old man. Hey, I told you, I ain't arrived yet. I'm still being sanctified. The Lord's still trying to set me apart on a few things. And so He is with you. But watch.
shall be saved, that's future tense, from the wrath through him. Well, just take a wild guess what that might be referring to. That is referring to the rapture of the body when the body is changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. This body is corruption. That's why we have to take it out to the graveyard. Just last Wednesday, we took Tracy's dad. He don't live there. That's just an old resident. That's the old address he used to have. We took the old corruptible body and we put it in the ground. But my friend, when he took his last breath, he was absent from the body and present with the Lord. That ain't him. That's just an old body he used to live in. And we put that corruptible in the ground. Why? Because it ain't saved yet. But one day it shall be saved when the Lord calls and the dead in Christ shall rise and they'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. They'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body and be changed to look like Christ, and then it will be complete in him. That body will change incorruptible. It will turn to incorruption. That mortal will put on immortality. And then it will join the soul and spirit that's already up there. It will join that in the air and be complete once again. Man, I tell you, I feel like Jimmy Swaggart with this microphone. I just do. If I had me one of them rags, I'd be T.D. Jakes. You understand what I'm saying? Get ready, get ready, get ready. Anyway. Shall be saved. Y'all look like you just need to wake up a little. Now, I want to show you this. Galatians chapter 5. I want to show you this before I close. Galatians 5. I'm not going to keep you all night. Galatians 5. I just want to share some of these truths with you that maybe sometimes we need to be reminded of. I want to show you a couple other verses and we'll be through. Look at Galatians chapter 5. And I want to show you about this sanctification thing. Here's where we mess up and have a lot of problems when we, because there are a lot of people that say, well, you get saved, but if you sin, well, you got to go back. I mean, you got to get saved again. And, well, look, if you can't go back in your mother's womb and be born physically again, you cannot go back into the womb with the Holy Spirit and be born again. All right. So it's one time. We got that settled. I hope. I was born in the family of my mother and dad, and you ain't going to change that. I mean, I can change my name. I can do all of this, but you cut the blood. The blood's going to go back to the Father. Woo, Lord have mercy. And if you save, you cut your blood, it goes back to the Father. It's all connected. Now watch about this sanctification thing. Watch this one. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. That means they don't like one another. They're contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and on we go. And then it gives you in verse 22 the fruit of the Spirit. There are sins of the flesh and sins of the Spirit. You that are saved, most of the time when I deal with stuff like this on Sunday night, I hope and pray that all of you are saved. I hope that's the case, and most of the time that is the case. If you're saved, you are two people in one. You are two people in one. You are a old nature and a new nature. An outward man and an inward man. And they don't like one another. That's why when you get up on Sunday morning, you say, man, I just want to stay in bed. Oh, I just don't want to. I just want to get up. And so in the spirit and inside, go, well, you need to go. You need to be fed. I'm hungry. And the body's going, well, I'm hungry for television. And the Spirit's like, I'm hungry for church. They don't like one another. They're conflict. You know why there's a lot of people? I understand. Some people go work. Some people sick. Some people, you know, I'm not saying all of that. You know what I'm saying. I don't harp on all that kind of thing. But you know why a lot of people didn't come back tonight is because their flesh won the battle about 5:45. At 5:45, there was a match that will be any UFC match, any wrestling match, any boxing match that you've ever had. And it happens at the same time every week, 5:45, just before Sunday night service. And they're fighting one another. Oh, it'd just be so good to stay here. Oh, I want to watch this. I want to do this. I don't want to read my Bible. He preached too long. He preached two sermons this morning anyway. I've already got two sermons. No amens. I mean, it was long. We was there until 12:20, and it just ain't no sense in that. I mean, we wouldn't have, we could have beat the Methodists if we had just got out on time. I love the Methodists. I'm not picking on them. I love them. They just get to lunch before we do. I mean, you know, we love them. But what I'm saying is the spirit and the flesh, they are contrary one to the other. They don't like one another. When you get up in the morning, come Monday morning, watch. Watch this. Set out tonight and say, hey, if you're not reading your Bible already, if you're not in practice already reading your Bible, watch this. Say tonight, say in the morning, I'm getting up 15 minutes early. I'm going to read for 10 minutes and I'm going to pray for 5. 15 just extra minutes in the morning and watch and see what happens in the morning. Watch and see. You say, preacher, I want to put this message to the test. Do it and see. 15 minutes. God, I'm going to get up 15 minutes early in the morning. I'm going to set the alarm clock 15 minutes earlier. And I'm going to read my Bible for 10. However long that takes, I'm going to read for 10 minutes and pray for 5. And then I'm going to get up and go get my coffee and do my work and go to work and get whatever. Watch and see what happens. The alarm clock, where the electricity will go off and the alarm clock won't ring. Or it'll ring, you hit the snooze button about 10 times. Somebody testify right there. The body, the flesh is going, 15 minutes is a long time. Spirit's like, well, you told the Lord you're going to. It's always that way. It's a struggle. The spirit lusts against the flesh, flesh against the spirit. And these two are contrary one to the other so that you can't do the things that you would. I want to serve God. I want to serve God. I want to read my Bible every day. I want to pray every day. But guess what? I cannot do that all the time. It's because my flesh sometimes overrides because I feed him a whole lot more during the week than I do the spirit. Somebody say amen right there. Sometimes we get to feeding the old flesh. We feed on him. And look, I don't have a problem with television. Look, just get your thumb saved. If you want to watch television, nothing wrong. Look, I'm not one of these preachers. We all go take our televisions and go burn them. All right? Every one of them preachers that used to preach at 30 years ago have got big screens now, in-ground swimming pools in their backyard, and high-speed internet. Now, come on. I'm not against convictions, but hey, come on now. It's done. Look, it'll be a whole lot better if you just get your thumb saved. You know what to stop on, what you don't, what you're not supposed to. Thumb, you get yourself, get down here and say, thumb, you're getting saved tonight. you're not going to be in control now, I'm telling you. And I'll be honest, sometimes my flesh, my name's like, hey, you know. And then the spirit's like, that ain't good, that ain't good. That ain't good. Hey, that's a sign you're saved. If somebody's talking on the inside going, that ain't good, that's not a good idea, then that's a good sign you're saved. Because the devil's sure not going to tell you that wasn't a good idea. I mean, if you have a struggle living for Christ, that is a good indication you're saved. If it's a struggle. But watch, I want to show you this, and I'm closing. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, I'm closing. Genesis 8. I want to show you this. I like this. Your body, soul, and spirit. This is Wednesday night stuff, but your body, soul, and spirit will coincide with Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You can look that up sometime. It coincides. Body, soul, and spirit, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they all coincide. But watch this one. Your flesh and spirit will coincide with what I'm just fixing to read. Watch this. Genesis chapter number 8 and verse, we're talking about Noah's Ark. We talked about that a little bit this morning. I didn't read the story. I just gave you my version of it.
But watch down here. Here we go. Verse number 4. And the ark rested. This is at the end. Here's the water is stopped. It stopped raining. And here we go. The ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month on the 1st day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. 3 months for the water to go down far enough you see the tops of the mountains. Man, that's a lot of rain. Verse 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Verse number 8, notice, new beginning. Verse 8, new beginning. Also, he sent forth a dove from him, to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of his foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. He stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in unto him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Now watch this one. Here's a beautiful picture of what I just said about you as a saved person, your outward man and your inward man. You're two people in one. They contrary one to another. They don't like one another. Watch this. Noah sent out a raven, a black raven. A raven, watch this one, a raven. How many of you know that ravens like dead food? Dead stuff. Dead carcass. That's them old birds that you almost run over every time you see something run over in the highway, and you almost run over them because they're going to get that last bite before they fly off real quick. You know what I'm talking about? They're eating all that dead stuff. Notice he sent out the raven, and the raven never came back. Why? Because there was a bunch of dead stuff out there to feed on. The dove represents your inward man, the Holy Spirit that came on the inside of you, just like the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like as a dove and lightened upon him. The Holy Spirit came into you when you got saved by God's marvelous grace. You know, he sent out the dove. Guess what? He came back because the dove don't eat dead stuff. He's looking for stuff that's living. Amen. He's looking for living things. Watch. He goes out the second time and he brings forth Noah an olive leaf that's plucked off. Something that's green. Lord, help me. Something that's green. Something that's living. Something that's brought forth life. And brought back to Noah and said, here, I just want to let you know there's life growing out there. It was all dead stuff and there's still some laying around. The ravens about got all that fixed. But watch this, and there's some life coming on. Some growth coming on. He sent him out the third time. Guess what? He didn't come back. Why? There's a bunch of it out there now. Now watch this. Your flesh is like that raven. It likes dead stuff. It likes old, just nasty stuff. It don't like coming to church. It don't like coming on Sunday night. It don't like coming on Wednesday night. It's a struggle. I ain't reading my Bible. I'm just going to go listen to the preacher. Young people, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm just going to, amen. I like dead stuff. Dead stuff. Dead music. All that old rap and all that old stuff. All just dead stuff. Just feeding on dead stuff. That's not helping you grow in it. It hadn't got any life about it whatsoever. It's just dead stuff. Stuff on the internet and the computer. Just dead stuff. Waste of time. Just dead stuff. It's a feeding on that. Man, it's having a heyday. I mean, it's just having a wonderful time out in the world. Because that's a picture of your old man that hadn't been saved yet. Watch. And then the dove is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. You send it out. What is it looking for? It's looking for live things. It's looking for something that's got life in it. It's looking for that book that he's feeding upon. It's got life in it.
He wants preaching. He wants that inward man in you. I know you're probably like, man, I don't like preaching. Man, I don't like preaching. That's your flesh talking. If you're saved, your spirit likes preaching. It ought to like preaching. It ought to like, at least even bad preaching, it ought to like. I mean, at least some of it, some truth. I mean, get what you can. My spirit's going, yeah, I mean, they pull out some stuff out of there. It's good. I'm looking for anything that's alive. I'm looking for anything that'll help me grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I'm looking for anything that'll put, that'll grow me into Him. And that dove is a looking, and he's a looking for live stuff. But our old man looks for dead stuff. He likes dead stuff. And I'm telling you this, you say, preacher, how do you conquer this? Well, I'm going to tell you. You ain't going to conquer it, but there's one thing you can do. If you want to look at it, boy, I'm telling you, I love this verse. Galatians 2 and 20, and we're through. Lions are part of the raven. And just to make sure I'm through, Mark's going to go ahead and go to the piano. Just to make sure I'm through. That's the way they do. Galatians 2:20, and we're through. Watch. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the what? In the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what? Every day, every morning, Paul says, I die daily. What is he talking about? He's not talking about getting a knife and killing his flesh. He's talking about that spirit. He's talking about just killing the old man. He's talking about killing the old man. I die daily. What is he saying? He says, I have to get crucified every day. Flesh, get up there and get crucified. Don't come down off that cross. Somebody pulls out in front of you in Memphis. Man, he'll jump out off that cross in a minute. He'll go to hell. And I have to say, get back up there. Now yourself. Get yourself back up there. Reckon yourself dead to that. Quit that. Amen. Galatians 2:20, that's how you do it. I am crucified. I have to see myself on the cross of Calvary. I'm dead to that. Don't have a problem with that. I'm dead to that. If you brought a liquor bottle in here, opened it up, hey, that stuff, I'm dead to that. That ain't going to bother me. I might pass out or something, but that ain't going to bother me. You're not going to tempt me with that. I'm dead to that. But there may be some things that everybody's not dead to. And God, that's a process of sanctification that God is trying to get you to be dead to every area in your life that needs to be dead. He's trying to kill it so you can live for Christ unto Him and bring forth good fruit. That's what He wants to do for us as Christians.